You have your Bibles with you this morning. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. This morning we're going to begin at verse 45 and we're going to read through verse 51. The message title this morning. Pardon me. The message title is The Fourth Watch in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. Let's read together. It says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." Alan Justice, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Fourth watch. Let me start off by making a full disclosure. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the radio, and I heard about a 30-second devotional on the radio concerning the subject we're looking at here this morning and concerning what happened here in Matthew chapter 6. And the devotional that I heard stuck with me so much that I got it on my mind. I began to do some research on this text, and I went online, I went to my commentaries, and I began to dig into this a little bit more, and the more I dug into it, the more I felt compelled to preach on this particular subject. So I just want you to know, before we ever start this morning, that this message this morning was born out of a 30-second devotional that I heard on the radio a couple of weeks ago, okay? So with that said, let me say this. I have been a follower of Jesus Christ now for over 34 years. And here's the amazing thing. In all that time, the Lord has never, not once, let me down. And you know what? I don't suppose he's going to start today. But he hasn't, friends. He has never let me down. Now, let me say something as I say, the Lord has never let me down. Okay, no, the Lord has not ever let me down, but that does not mean that the Lord's will has always been my will, because it hasn't. Okay, sometimes God's will is different from my will, and when it is, I just have to be a mature believer and yield myself to his will. And just because God doesn't let me down doesn't mean he's always going to do things the way I want him to. The fact God didn't let me down doesn't mean that the Lord hasn't worked in my life in ways that I hadn't thought of, because I'm going to promise you this morning, there has been plenty of times when the Lord has done something completely unexpected in my life. And indeed, he does that all the time. And just because the Lord has never let me down, it doesn't mean that everything has always been easy in my Christian life, because I've got news for you, it hasn't. But you know what? No matter what I have faced, the Lord has never, and I mean never, let me down. Amen. Now, in this text this morning, we see the disciples of Jesus, and they are in a ship at night in a storm. And this was a literal storm with real rain, real wind, real waves, real thunder, and real lightning. And you know, as God's people, sometimes you and I are going to have to endure some storms of our own, but our storms are not always necessarily real storms like they faced here, but often ours are figurative storms, if you will. But the storms that we face, like I said, are not rain and wind, but they're the trials and tribulations of this life. And often we face storms such as health problems or the health problem of someone that we love. We can face the storms of money problems, job problems, relationship problems, or even the loss of someone we love. Sometimes the storms that we face are storms of persecution because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But our text this morning gives me a lot of peace concerning the storms that you and I will have to face in this life, because in this text today we see the truth that the Lord will never let his people down, no matter what it is that they might face. Amen. So let's just jump right in here and look at what the Lord has to say to us this morning. And the first thing I must bring out of this text is that our faithfulness to the Lord and our faithfulness to his word and our obedience to his word does not mean that we are exempt from the trials of this life. Amen. You hear me? Just because you're faithful to God doesn't mean that you are exempt from the storms of this life. I hate to break this to you this morning, but nowhere in the Word of God did the Lord ever say that our lives would be easy if we would follow him. To the contrary, the Word of God is very clear that if we are faithful, if we are obedient to him, then those things will often bring many problems into our lives. But let me tell you something. While the Lord didn't promise that we would have an easy life, let me tell you what he did promise. He promised that he would never leave us and that he would never forsake us. Now look at verse 45, where it says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go over onto the other side." Now, let me just tell you something. There's three places in the Word of God, in three Gospels, where this account is recorded. I chose Mark's today for a reason, but Mark got his information secondhand. He was not there. But I looked at the other accounts, and in the other accounts, I see John's account, and John was there. He was there that night, and in John's account, he says in John chapter 6 that it was evening when the Lord put him on the ship. Now let me tell you a few things that I know here. Number one, I know that it was Jesus who put them into this situation. Okay? Think about that. He's the one that put them on the ship. I also know that their faithfulness to the Lord and their obedience to the Lord also put them in this situation. But notice in verse 45, they don't ask any questions. They don't look at Jesus. They don't say, "Well, Lord, why aren't you going with us?" They don't look at Jesus in verse 45 and say, well, Lord, don't you think maybe it would be safer to cross the sea in the daytime rather than doing it right about the time it's getting dark?" Don't ask no questions. They don't object. They just did what Jesus told them to do. They just got in the ship and headed for the other side, no questions asked. Here's something I want you to remember. The Lord is all-powerful, he's all-present, and yes, he is all-knowing. And because he's all-knowing, when he put him in the ship that night, let me tell you something, he knew the storm was coming. Think about that. When he put him in this situation, he knew what was coming for them. Now, they had no idea what was coming, but he did. And still, he put him in the ship. And because they were obedient, because they trusted Jesus, they ended up in a very violent storm. Well, friends, nothing has changed. When you and I choose to be faithful to the Lord, when we choose to obey him and his word, I've got news for you. Storms are sure to come into our lives. And often we face many trials and many difficulties in this life for no other reason than we have chosen to obey the Lord and be faithful to him. But I'm telling you, friends, my first point is real clear. Our faithfulness to God, our obedience to God, does in no way, shape, or form make us exempt from the trials and sufferings of this life. So just get that straight to begin with. And this brings me to my second thought. And that is that when the storms come, listen to me, the Lord always has a reason for it. There's always a purpose for everything that God does, okay? Let me tell you, there is nothing random, nothing coincidental, nothing accidental where the Lord is concerned. He has a purpose and a plan for everything that he does, to include the storms that he allows into our lives. There's a saying I've heard all my life, and it's not biblical, but I have found that it's true, and that is that through adversity, character is forged. I like that. Through adversity, character is forged. But I'm going to add to that. Through adversity, faith is built. Through adversity, faith is deepened. Through adversity, our character is forged indeed. Now, I know, friends, adversity is never enjoyable. But you know what? For the child of God, it is often necessary, and it is necessary. God has to use it sometimes to help us become the people that he wants us to be. And through it, friends, the Lord will work to help us be the people he designed us to be. After all, the Word of God does say very plainly that the Lord is working in all things that go on in our lives, right? Amen. And I would say very often he is especially working through the storms and difficulties that we face in this life. This text is a prime example, and so this brings me to my third point, and that is the storm that they faced. Now again, it was Jesus himself who put them in this storm. He not only allowed this to happen, he made it happen. And I'm telling you, this was not an easy thing for his followers to face. As a matter of fact, notice in verse 48, it says that they toiled in rowing. Do you know what that means? It means they struggled. They struggled. Friends, you ever been there? Have you ever struggled in your Christian life? Have you ever struggled to have faith? Have you ever struggled to trust God? Indeed, we all have. Have the storms of life ever become so difficult that you struggled to get through it? Friends, that's where the disciples were on this night. But here's where my research kind of came into play, and I learned a few things I didn't know. Do you know back in Jesus' day, they kept time just a little different than we do today? we have calendars, and we have clocks, and we have 24-hour days, and 60-minute hours and 60-second minutes. They didn't have that exactly. Yeah, they had a calendar, but their calendar was a lunar calendar, and therefore it was a little different from our calendar. It was just a little different. But here's what we had in common with them, okay? This was in the Northern Hemisphere. We're in the Northern Hemisphere. Guess what happens in the wintertime in the Northern Hemisphere? The nights get long, and the days get short. And guess what happens in the summertime? The days get long and the nights get short. Why is that? Well, it's simple science, really. And this time of year, the northern hemisphere of the earth tilts away from the sun, and our days get short and our nights get long. As a matter of fact, I believe there's places in Alaska where they really don't even have a sunrise for, I don't know, what is it, Jeff, probably 20 or 30 days, something like that, maybe a little bit longer up in northern Alaska, because the northern hemisphere is tilted so far away from the earth. And so the nights are long in the winter, and the days are short. But guess what happens on December 21st? We have our shortest day, and what happens? The earth begins to tilt back, and the northern hemisphere tilts back toward the sun, and guess what happens? The days start to get longer, right? And so as the days get longer, that happens all the way to June 21st, when we have our longest day of the year, and then the thing reverses, and we repeat the whole thing again. So that's the way that works. But here's the thing. We've got this thing today. It's called daylight savings time. I'm going to tell you something. I despise it. Okay. I like fall when we fall back and I get that extra hour of sleep. I hate it in the spring when we spring forward and we lose that hour of sleep. And, you know, I find out on that day of the year who really loves the Lord and who's going to be at church because they lost an hour of sleep. Okay, I'm just kidding. But anyway, but we do. We have daylight savings time, and we adjust our clocks backwards and forward to compensate for the shortened days and the shortened nights. But you know what? Back then, they didn't have daylight savings time, so they had something in the wintertime, in the summertime, when the nights were longer, the nights were short, called watches. And I didn't know this, but back then in the wintertime, when the nights were long, they would have four watches. And in the summer, when the nights were short, they only had three. I didn't know that, but I read that in one of my commentaries. I found that online, okay? So four watches. So if Jesus came in the fourth watch, guess what that means? It means he came during the time of the year when the nights were really long. Okay, well, what does that got to do with anything? Well, John said they got on the ship in the evening. Well, Larry, what time is it getting dark around here right now? About 6, 6:30, right? So if he put them on the ship in the evening, let's just give them benefit of doubt. Let's just say it was about 7 o'clock. They got on the ship about 7 p.m., all right? And so back then, they were in the fourth watch when Jesus finally came to them. And I studied this out. The fourth watch was between the hours we know as 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So if we split the difference, let's just say if Jesus came in the fourth watch, then let's just say he came about 4:30 in the morning. Now think about this. He put him on the boat at about 7 p.m. But he didn't show up to help him until about 4:30. So you know what that means? It says what here. It was evening. When evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. That when evening was come, it didn't take long for the storm to set in. So you know what that means? It means at 8 p.m. they were in the storm. When 9 p.m. came, guess what? They were still in the storm. When 10 p.m. rolled around, yeah, they were still in the storm. They were there at 11 p.m. They were there at midnight. And at 1 a.m., guess what? They weren't real close to being delivered from this storm yet. They were still right in the middle of it. And they were still there at 2 a.m. and at 3 a.m. and at 4 a.m. And this storm they faced that night was fierce. I want to tell you something. Years ago, when I was a kid, my uncles took me coon hunting. And man, one of the worst thunderstorms I ever saw in my life happened on that night. The lightning was flashing, and I don't know, I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. I got separated from my uncles. I was by myself in the woods during a major storm. I'll tell you something, it was kind of a scary thing. I can only imagine what it must have been like being on a wooden ship out in the middle of the sea. Man, it's dark in the middle of the night during a storm except for when the lightning flashes. Friends, they were just tossed about. They were unable to get themselves out of this. And they were probably, think about this, don't you think they were pretty fearful because of this storm? Wouldn't you have been? Let me ask you something. You ever been there? The storm is raging in your life and you become fearful. Ever been there? Sure you have. By 1 a.m., the disciples probably felt like the storm was never going to end. Again, friends, in the midst of your worst storms in your life, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like, well, this is never going to end? And I probably think they probably wondered where Jesus was. Again, friends, you ever been there? The darkest hour of your life, and you're wondering to yourself, where in the world is the Lord? Let's just be blunt about this. We've all been there. And because we have, friends, I think we can relate to how the disciples must have felt that night, because the truth is, we've all been there. You see, sometimes the storms that God's people have to face are going to be long, and they're going to be terrible. And sometimes they're going to be so bad, it's going to feel like the sun is never going to come up again. And I'm telling you, when you get to that place, and you will, just remember the words that Jesus spoke here in verse 50 when he said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Yeah. Amen. Be not afraid. And this brings me to my fourth point, and that is that no matter what kind of storm we face in this life, we have nothing, and I mean nothing, as God's people to fear. Even in the darkest hours of our lives, even when the storm is raging, even when the Lord seems a million miles away, we have nothing to fear. Listen to me, friends. Just because the disciples out there in that ship that night, just because they had no idea where Jesus was, that doesn't mean that he didn't know where they were. Because look at verse 48, it says, "And he saw them toiling." He saw them struggling. You hear that? He saw them. He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what they were going through. He saw their struggle with the storm. And I'm telling you, friends, in the midst of the worst storm in your life, I promise you, he sees you too. And while he may not feel close while the storm is raging, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're facing. And I'm telling you, just because he hasn't calmed your storm yet doesn't mean that he's not going to. Just because he hasn't calmed your storm yet doesn't mean that he's forgotten you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Again, friends, I want you to remember the next time everything's going wrong in your life, the next time you just feel like the whole world's trying to beat you down, I want you just to stop and I want you to remember the Lord said he is working in all things. Yeah. Even the stuff we don't like. Even the stuff we don't enjoy. This brings me to my final point, and that is their deliverance from the storm. Now, as I've got to figure, these guys spent somewhere around 9 to 10 hours in a wooden ship on the sea at night in a terrible storm, all because they did what Jesus told them to do. But like I said, the Lord never lost track of them. And when the Lord was ready, you hear me? When the Lord was ready, he came and he delivered them in a most miraculous fashion. You see, Christ came to them walking on the water. And at his word, you hear me? At his word, the storm was calmed. And everything was okay. And I promise you, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what you may have to face in the future, when the Lord is ready, he will calm your storm too. Now, questions generally get raised to me about things like this, about accounts like this. People will say to me things like, and usually it's lost people. They'll say, well, why did Jesus make them endure this, especially if he knew it was coming? Wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't it have been nicer if Jesus had just said, well, there's a real bad storm coming, you all stay here where it's safe? I hear those kind of questions from people. Why in the world would the Lord do that? I also hear people when they're in the midst of their own storm say to me, why is the Lord doing this to me? You ever ask that question? I bet a lot of you have. Or they'll say, well, if he saw them and he saw they were struggling, why did he leave them out there for such a long period of time? Those are the kind of questions people ask me. Well, I've got a better question. Here it is. You ready? Do you think the disciples were better off or worse off when the storm finally ended? That's my question. Which one do you think made them better off? Were they better off or worse off when this finally ended? And do you think they were better people when it was all said and done for having endured this storm? What do you think? Spiritually speaking, I promise you, they were better off for having endured the storm. And I say that to begin with this morning, for they learned something about Jesus, didn't they? Now they knew he was powerful. Okay, they did. They had watched him heal all kinds of diseases. They had heard him preach. They knew he had authority when he preached. They'd watched him do all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, this was kind of a next level miracle. Okay? If you've ever been out in the sea in a storm at night, it's a scary thing they were facing. You ever seen a really bad storm? I lived through what the Weather Channel says is the second worst tornado in U.S. history, and that was the Xenia tornado in 1974. It leveled our town. A bunch of people were killed. I think there were 33 people killed. And I've also been through a hurricane in Florida. I've seen a couple really bad storms. Okay, I know what I'm talking about when I say I know what a storm looks like, okay, because I've seen a few. Let me tell you something. When Jesus stepped in that boat and he said, be still, and the wind ceased and the rain stopped and the water calmed, do you think they learned a little something about Jesus on that evening? Do you think all of a sudden they said, wow, he's so powerful, he can even control the weather? I think they learned something about Jesus. That was his sovereignty over nature. And I'm telling you, friends, anytime you or I learn more about Jesus, we are always better off. But they didn't just learn more about Jesus on that night, because when all was said and done that night, guess what? Their faith was strengthened. I think they said, wow, if Jesus can handle this, he can probably handle anything. Well, guess what? Anytime our faith grows, friends, it is always a good thing, regardless of how it happens. Friends, I promise you today that storms are a part of our Christian lives. May not like it, may not enjoy it, but that is just a fact. They're part of the Christian experience. Now, maybe today you'd say, well, preacher, I'm not currently in a storm of any kind today. Let me give you a cheerful thought. You ready for this? I promise you, there is one out there just over the horizon headed right for you, and it's got your name on it. And it may not come today, it may not come tomorrow, it may not come this week, this month, or this year, but I promise you, if you're a born-again follower of Jesus Christ and you are faithful to Him and obedient to Him, there is a storm out there just over the horizon, and it's coming for you. Trust me, I've endured more than one in my spiritual life. So just wait. But maybe today you are in a storm. Maybe today you're one of those people that you've been suffering in silence. Maybe no one else in this room, no one else in your life knows what you're going through today. Well, I've got good news, friends. Even if no one else knows about your struggles today, you know what? The Lord does. And I promise you, He sees it and He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's going on. And He will end your storm when He's ready to end it, not necessarily when you're ready for Him to end it. Maybe today you feel like you're in the fourth watch of the storm. Maybe you, like the disciples, have been toiling and struggling for a long while now. Maybe the night seems dark. Maybe you're tempted to believe the Lord is not there. Maybe you're tempted. Satan is working on you, trying to make you think, hey, the Lord has forgotten you. Well, be of good cheer, friends. The Lord knows all about it, and I promise you the storm will not last forever. And I'm telling you, whether your storm, whether you're in the first watch, the second watch, the third watch or the fourth, when the Lord does end the storm for you, I promise you, you will be a better person for it. Because you see, through the storms that we face in this life, our character is defined. Our faith is built. And in the end, we have a deeper understanding of who the Lord is. Tell me, friends, how can any of those things be a bad thing? And whether you're currently facing a storm or whether one is coming for you, all I can tell you is don't be afraid. The fourth watch will eventually come. The Lord will show up at just the right time. And He, like He did the disciples, will deliver you from your storm as well. Amen. Isn't God good? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, this text teaches us so many things. For starters, it does teach us that we are not exempt from the struggles and the trials of this life just because we follow You and just because we're obedient. Matter of fact, Lord, Your word says that the world's going to hate us because of our faith in You, because they hated You first. And Lord, often there's going to be many difficulties that come into our life for no other reason, Lord, than we have chosen to obey You and trust You. Father, regardless of why the storm comes, we know that they do. But Lord, when they come, and if there's one here today that's they feel like they're in the midst of a storm right now, Lord, I just pray, Lord, You'd help us to realize that You are indeed working in all things that happen to us in this life, and You're doing it, Lord, for our good. Lord, that is what Your word declares, and I pray, Lord, we would believe what You've said. And Father, I pray that we would just trust that no matter what we face, Lord, that we know in our hearts that You see us, that You know all about what's going on, that You see our struggles. And Lord, that if there's a struggle going on today, Lord, help us, even if we don't understand why, just to trust that You have a reason for it. And help us, Lord, to believe that You will end the storm when You are ready, and that when it's over, Lord, we'll be better for it. Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You do. And Lord, just because we face problems, this text teaches us, Lord, You just don't necessarily instantly come to our aid and instantly make it go away, Lord. Sometimes we have to walk through some things, Lord, to get to the other side and to become the people You want us to be. So, Lord, if there's one here today that's struggling with anything, that feels like they're in the fourth watch, wondering where You are, wondering why You haven't come, I pray, God, You'll help them to understand the words that You spoke to Your disciples on that night when You said, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Lord, your word says if you are for us, who can be against us? And Lord, if you're for us, Lord, what could we possibly be afraid of? I pray, Lord, that we would just trust you. No matter what we face in this life, that we would trust you even when we don't know what it is that you're doing. And help us, Lord, now. Because, Lord, in this world we have tribulation. In this world we face storms as your people. And I pray, Lord, when they come, that we'll just trust you no matter what. Now, Father, as you're speaking to hearts today, and I trust and believe that you are, I pray, Lord, we would bring our burdens to you. That we would come to this altar and we would lay those burdens at your feet. That we would come and just confirm to you today, Lord, there's problems in my life, there's struggles I'm facing, and I don't know why, Lord, but I trust you. That we would just lay it at your feet and walk away with peace in our heart, Lord, knowing you've got us in the palm of your hand and that you'll end the storm when you're ready. Help us, Lord, to trust you for all things. And Father, if there's one here today who's never made a decision to call upon Jesus for that great salvation, I pray, God, this would be the day they would come and make that most important decision before it is too late. Have your way, Lord, in each and every heart, each and every life, in each and every home, and in this church, Lord, right now, in this invitation. As you're speaking to hearts, Lord, I pray we'd be obedient, that we would come, that we would yield ourselves to you.